come with Ford. It's me, a manager from the Auditor General's office. We are honored to have you here. And the Musimi, the business executive from the Auditor General's office, we are also honored to have you here, sir. And before we start, let us announce the apologies that we have. We have an apology from Honorable Kumbok of the Democratic Alliance and Mem Daliat of the Democratic Alliance. That is true. And Mr. Horai of the ANC. And we understand, but we do not have apologies from Mem Jane Mangai. We understand that she has attended the meeting of the Rural Development Committee. No, that is Climate Committee on Climate Change.
Water
is,
and Environment.
Is it Water and Environment Affairs? Yes. And Mr. Zulu, Honorable Zulu, is in the Portfolio Committee for Rural Development. We are still expecting this Bam Magwanya, and we have reliably heard that she is on her way to the meeting. But without much ado, let us get into serious business of this committee. The first point of the agenda will be a briefing from by the Auditor General's Office on financial statements of the National Department of Tourism and South African Tourism for 2010-2011. You remember that we had a meeting where they presented their annual reports last week, and we had a few items to query, particularly on their financial statements, regard to governance issues and lack of leadership. And as we interrogated them, it became clear that there was a serious problem, particularly with SA tourism. Then the second area will be financial statements for the last 6 months from the 1st of April 2011 to the 30th of September 2011, where we shall be looking at the budget, whether the whole of the budget has been spent, capital expenditure has been spent, if not, what are the plans and what were the problems, and whether people are not using capital expenditure for other purposes. Then, three, consideration of the draft budgetary review and recommendations report. This report has to be submitted by the end of this week. Having said that, we shall then have to look at the report and adopt the report, whether we adopt it finally or perhaps with some points that have to be looked into, subject to full recognition. The last item of our agenda will be a consideration of committee outstanding matters, like minutes and reports. That is shortly our agenda for the day, and over to you, Mr. Msibi Shay, on the briefing from the Auditor General's Office on financial statements of the National Department of Tourism and South African Tourism for 2010-2011 financial. Over to you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. My colleague Marianne will take us through the presentation, but before that, I just want to put a few things into perspective. I just wish to mention that you will see from the slides that the Department of Tourism is a new department, and therefore it will not have the comparative results for 2009-2010 financial period. It came as a result of a split between environmental affairs and tourism. In terms of the issues that we'll cover, it's all his opinion for the annual financial statements. We also looked at four focus areas in terms of our audit. That is supply chain management, the IT general control environment. We also audit the predetermined objectives, that is performance information reported against the budget that was approved, as well as HR matters. Once again in the slides, the different colors that we use, where we use light blue for 2010 period and dark blue for 2011 period, very different in 2 years in terms of what has happened. I just wish the committee that they should take note of that. Then we'll take questions at the end of the presentation. Thank you.
In terms of if we will be able to on the point,
the color. Yeah, black and white is not the full story. That is the problem.
Thank you, Chair. I think to the people in for the introduction, I think that this is, the first slide just sets out our reputation, promise, and our mission, which indicates that we exist to strengthen our governance democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing and thereby building public confidence. If we can go on to the first slide over here, that indicates the national outcome of the PFMA period, which was the financial year ending 31st of March 2010-11. If you look at the top line, which is the financially unqualified with no findings of predetermined objectives or compliance with laws and regulations. So that was an audit that was completely clean. You'll notice that there has been a regression. If you look at the departments as well as the public entities, there has been a general regression in the national picture. Financially unqualified with findings on predetermined objectives and or compliance with laws and regulations, you'll have noticed that there's an increase in that. That's the yellow line, which then indicates, sorry Chair, do you not have a coloured version? I have one coloured version.
I do have.
Okay.
Okay, didn't we update this?
No, we haven't updated it at all. So in terms of that, you'll notice that there's been a general regression there where the auditees have maybe moved from the green line to the yellow line. Then in terms of the qualifications of the next block, which the department doesn't fall into any of these categories. And then if I can go down to the very light three lines at the bottom, which indicates the predetermined objectives only, you'll notice that in the 2010-11 year, there was a general improvement in the fact that there were less entities that only had had findings on the predetermined objectives. Then with compliance with laws and regulations, they all noticed there's been an increase, and then the others are the findings where they had both on the predetermined objectives and compliance with laws and regulations. So that just sets out the picture for the national situation, and then that can be used to compare the department to notice how the department and the entity have actually been able to function. If we look at the picture that we have here, the green line, if we look at the public entities column, you'll Letter 3910, we had a financially unqualified with no findings from predetermined objectives, and they regressed to a financially unqualified with findings from predetermined objectives and compliance with laws and regulations. But when we look at it a little bit later, you'll notice that it's just in the line of compliance with laws and regulations. They didn't have predetermined objectives that needed to be disclosed. Then in the financially unqualified with findings on predetermined objectives, we've got the, under the department, we've got the one with the star, which indicates that we don't have any comparative figures that Lucy indicated earlier, because it's a new department. So they also, if you look at the bottom three lines, you'll notice that under predetermined objectives findings only, there were none, and they only fall into the category of compliance with laws and regulations. That's where they are. They don't have any predetermined objectives that we concluded on. Next, I could go to the audit outcomes. This is basically very similar to the previous slide, but it just gives you the bars that this also indicated the light blue and the dark blue. And if we look at that, you'll be able to see that we've only got the one light blue, which was financially unqualified with no findings, and that pertains to South African tourism in the fact that we didn't have a department in the past because it was in Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism. Then financially unqualified with findings, which is the next bar, you'll notice that there was 100% of the entities fell under that, and then it gives you that breakdown that is that last three lines that say they only had compliance findings, and it was both the department and the entity. That's why we're talking about 100%. You'll also see that right at the bottom is other legal reporting responsibilities, and that's where it was reported on in our audit report. It's reported under other legal reporting responsibilities. If we can look at this one, this is a very busy and colourful slide, but if we can look at this, the general picture that this is giving is that if we look at the red arrow that shows one which is annually, where it shows that it's actually regressed, and that's the South African tourism that was prior to this financially unqualified with no findings, and now it's got the findings on the compliance issue. And if you look at the last two bars, it's basically telling you that in the yellow block would be the Department of Tourism because they're neutral. We haven't been able to have a previous picture against which to actually evaluate them, so we put them into a neutral, that's what the yellow means is neutral, and the red means a regression. So that just indicates that there was a regression and the department doesn't have anything against which we could compare it. Then the areas of a material misstatement in the financial statements, if we can look at this, we've actually included in this graph all the areas that were actually just going to be disclosed and reported on in the Auditor General's general report, which was capital assets, current assets, other disclosure items, revenue, and then the unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. And here we've just indicated where the problem areas were. In the department, you'll notice that they're green throughout, and that was no material misstatements in the financial statements. And then the yellow bar show the misstatements that were corrected during the audit, and those pertain to the public entity, and they were in the areas of capital assets, current assets, and other disclosure items, which also then led to the non-compliance issue that we will indicate later. You will notice that there is a red block, which would have been qualifications. There were none in the portfolio. Then this is just another form of the previous graph, where it shows that there were no material misstatements for the department, and then all the material misstatements that were identified for South African tourism were all corrected, and that then meant that they didn't get a qualification on their audit report, that they took the auditor's findings into account and actually corrected their financial statements. If we look at the predetermined objectives, this is also something that can be amended. The department, when it was previously the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, they did have challenges in this area, but they really put in major mechanisms to address this, and we've seen that also been carried through by the COO, who actually drove the process in the previous department as well. And there were then no material findings on the annual performance report, although there were no findings, there are still areas that they would need to concentrate on to ensure that they actually maintain this position, because that is one of the important areas, is that there were findings in this area, but they didn't elevate to an audit report level. So we just need to make sure, and the department and African Tourism, excuse me, we need to ensure that they can actually sustain the sector. And we look at the audit findings on non-compliance with laws and regulations. Over here we have South African Tourism, which was the annual financial statements and annual report. It does not pertain to the annual report because we didn't find anything wrong with the annual report. It pertains to the material misstatements that were in their financial statements that needed to be corrected. So it was those yellow bars that we were talking about earlier that led to it, which were basically related to the assets. And then we look at National Department of Tourism, which was a transfer of conditional grants. This related to the expanded public works situation that I'm sure that the department would have highlighted during their session last week. And this is where they've identified a risk area themselves, and they also discussed it with the Auditor General, and they are in the process of putting plans into place to actually identify and get a cleaner grasp on the situation. But it was that basically led to the non-compliance issue that was mentioned there. And if I can go on to the next slide. This pertains to then one of the other items that we were going to report on, and that's unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. As far as the department's concerned, there was no unauthorized expenditure, but there were two areas where irregular expenditure was identified. The one, if we say identified by auditee, which is the bottom block, which was the 33,000, this pertains to an individual who actually used a vehicle for non-official purposes, but the department took the corrective steps against the individual, and then the 175,000 was identified during the audit, and then it related to the expanded public works project. As was this where a service provider was appointed for training, but no evidence could be obtained from us that the three quotations were obtained in that situation. Then as far as fruitless and wasteful expenditure, that was the 28,000, and this was also in the department, and it was related to travel and subsistence. But you'll notice that for the public entity, they identified nothing for themselves, and during the audit processes, we didn't identify any during our audits either. What was indicated right at the beginning of the introductory was that we were looking at the four focal points, and the focal points being the procurement, the HR management, the predetermined objectives, and the IT management. And here we've just listed areas that didn't necessarily in every instance elevate all the way up to the audit report, but they're just areas that they need to ensure that they have under control. Under the procurement, that was a problem area, and it did elevate up to the audit report with the increase in irregular expenditure in the expanded public works, and the wastage during project implementation and maintenance, and that was something that even the department has identified. And as far as HR management, it's the lead administration and record keeping and administration, our performance agreements. Some of them were isolated, but here we also had, I'll indicate a bit later as well, is that with the split of the department, and the you can expect a bit of documentation issues that needed to be found and sourced at the Department of Environmental Affairs during the audit, because the people had actually come from there. So all that we're saying to them is go and make sure that you've got all the documentation that you actually need. Then the predetermined objectives, here we're looking at the credibility of reporting on achievement of targets and the usefulness of the information that is provided, and the indicators between the targets and the planned reporting. Just in terms of the predetermined objectives, 29% of the targets were not achieved during the 2010-11 period, but that did not elevate up to a reportable item. But that is just something that they need to manage and to be able to give the proper reasoning behind that. Then IT management, the areas that we were looking at were IT security control, which is applicable to the ADT, the National Department of Tourism, user access control. There was a lack of control over user IDs and implementation of policies and procedures. That was at both the entity and the department. Data center management, that was at South African Tourism, and then the IT governance, which was a problem at South African Tourism. And if I can go on to the next picture. This is the summary of findings on supply chain management. It's the full study compared to the national outcome. And here you can see that in terms of the portfolio, there were no findings that were elevated up to the audit report. And you can see where the problems were in the national picture. So this is actually a very good slide in a form of positive reporting, which the Auditor General doesn't quite often do, but this actually shows you the picture that they may very well have very good control in place around supply chain management. If we look at the HR issues, this is the department and the public entity for the years under review, and if you actually look at it, we've again highlighted the areas that we looked at and we focused during our audit processes, and then there were only two areas where the department had a problem, and that was performance management, where there were some individuals in senior management that needed to have signed off their performance contracts within 2 months, and they hadn't actually done it within the prescribed time. And then the other was the management of leave and overtime and suspension. And that really pertains a lot to the fact that the documentation wasn't necessarily on the time and had to be quite, in some instances, be sourced from the Department of Environmental Affairs. If we can look at the progress that's been made in terms of the implementation of key controls, we indicated that under leadership, in both entities have actually indicated that they've taken our findings seriously and that they are trying to implement mechanisms and controls and basically commitments that they've given during the audit process, and we can see that they're implementing these commitments. Under financial performance and management, there we're saying that there was a regression of it in the terms of the fact that we did have the items that we mentioned that did impact on the financial statements. And under governance, we're indicating that the audit committees are in place, they function well, and they do risk assessments, and the internal auditors are also appointed, and they carry out their mandate. And you'll notice that we said on the right-hand side that we basically put the movement in the prior year that we're saying is basically neutral. This department is basically showing us what they've done in the past. They've always shown us that the leadership takes things seriously, and the governance has always been in place. And it's just that financial one that we're saying that they need to just take a little bit of corrective action regarding that. Then if we can look at the IT one, over here we're indicating which ones are applicable. So basically it talks to that other slide that we had with the four focal areas. We're just now put it out in a pie chart as to what areas are applicable to the department, which is the IT service continuity, user access management, and the findings that related to the universal transversal systems which are in place. And all departments have very similar findings. Then the public entity, it was IT security, service continuity, security management, IT governance, and user access management. And then if we look at the last slide, which indicates the role players and where we think that things are being managed and that are in good progress and that there's been major improvements in, I think in the supply chain management, we're saying that that's under control, so it doesn't need real intervention from this committee currently. The predetermined objectives, there we're just saying that they're putting mechanisms in place to ensure it and stabilize the situation. Financial management, there we're saying that they have taken our findings seriously, and they are putting commitments into place and they're trying to address this. Nobody needs a turnaround plan. IT controls, they have put steps into place to start addressing this. We'll obviously only with the yellow be able to evaluate this once if we've actually carried out audit work on that. HR management, even though we had those two areas under the department, in general they have good HR management. governance structures are very good. And that's basically the presentation from our side on the financial statements.
Thank you very much. This is for Ford. And then perhaps there could be some questions either for clarity or perhaps about the substance itself.
Like like six again that column on regret. If you could just give a little bit of detail there so that I can understand the meaning of the slide as a whole. Thank you very much.
Okay, then Mom is gonna
thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you for the presentation. It was good listening to you, though. But I wonder if there was going to be any mistake if you came along with the department that was presenting last week. I don't think it was going to be a mistake. And I think things were going to go better and smooth next time. Thank you. Slide number 11, I'm just taking interest when it says there was 33,000 grand, which was what somebody misused the vehicle, and I'm made to understand the department took some steps. It seems maybe you can just a little bit expand on that one. I'm just taking interest. And one other thing, I would like to get clarity on this intervention. It appeared several times. I'm not very clear. I as a person. Thank you very much.
Okay. Over to you, report on the
thanks, Chairperson. The first question was on slide 11, in terms of how do the committee ascertain that certain actions have been taken, basically, regarding the matters that we are reporting. Trying to respond to that, I would say, after we have reported these issues, there are several processes that take place. Scopa would be one, in terms of how they will resolve, how these issues should be addressed. And it will be up to management to ensure that they execute whatever resolution that is coming from Scopa. So I'm not sure about the whole process of completing the whole loop in terms of getting that report as a committee to say, in terms of this resolution, this has happened. I don't know whether it's from that committee which should come to this, I'm not sure about that. But I'm just explaining the principle where these issues will be directed from the point when we've just completed the audit. That applies to issues around irregular expenditure. There's a condone process that takes place. If it gets condoned, it means it's been resolved. Once again, it will be part of the resolutions that are accepted. In terms of slide 17, we should have explained earlier on what we are trying to capture here. I think the first block is relevant, where we say, in terms of the executive leadership, what are they doing about the issues that we are reporting? Because we are trying to have a national picture to say, are the committees effective? Because even at my level, I do speak to National Treasurer, because it's one of it that I'm doing to say, what is your role in terms of oversight, monitoring? service issues, there's engagement that goes on. So we captured all the issues to say something is being done about them in terms of those areas. If you say it's green, you are saying it's okay. If it's yellow, there's an action plan around it. For example, we've reported the issue around the public web program. At the time we picked up the issue, management already has taken steps to investigate in terms of what are the weaknesses in the system and what can they do about it. Hence we are saying there's an action plan. But if we indicate any block as red, we are basically saying there needs to be intervention, whether from the portfolio committee level or management itself in terms of coming with the action plan to address those issues. But as far as the department and the entity is concerned, green and yellow is basically it's a fair reflection to say management is responding to this issue. There was a comment to say we need to continually look at the public works program. We have identified that as a high risk. We will continue monitoring that area because we've seen the weaknesses in controls where the project is implemented, but there's no report, there's no inspection. The department has to make sure that they implement robust controls around those issues. Because it's a high risk. You can expend cash only to find that nothing was built, there's nothing taking place. So we continue looking at that. I'll give Marianne the opportunity. I want to explain the regression. By regression, we mean the department had a clean report with no findings in 2010, but this year there were findings. We are basically trying to say they didn't perform well compared to the previous period, so there's a regression. So on the same note, if they are able to fix these issues, in this period they get a clean report, you'll see an error going up to say they've improved again. So if it's flat, it means things were consistent, basically. There was no more. Thanks, sir.
In terms of this graph, I could explain that red arrow as well as to this slide as well. Basically, that regression that we're indicating here was the South African tourism that went from a clean report to a clean report with findings on compliance. So they regret from having an absolutely clean picture to that. And just in terms of where the department is currently, although we don't have the comparative figures here from when they were part of the year, but with a split, if you actually look at the audit outcomes of the department to the previous Department of Environment, Defence and Tourism, it's very much a similar picture, that they did have very good control in place, and they basically had these for a number of years. They just basically continue with that. But it is important that they then sustain it. And then just in terms of the expanded public works, from our side, we have identified it as this indicator as a high-risk area. We are going to be doing more work on it. The department has come up with a plan that they, those interventions that I was talking about, where they've actually got commitments that they've made on how they're going to address these situations that have actually occurred, and we will then also be looking at that and reviewing that. And the one thing that the department has also looked at in the terms of the public works is the sustainability of the project, because that's very difficult. You give the money and then what happens afterwards? You know, the control mechanisms are very difficult over this, and we've also identified that I think going forward we would be taking it up with our other colleagues as well. Then, I don't know whether we've answered all the questions.
Yes, sir. Maybe you go back to slide 15. Uh, 15, what we are trying to capture here, we are basically saying these are the drivers for the clean audit outcomes. If leadership is playing a role in an entity where they look at the financial reports, they ask the right questions, they look at the AG's report, make follow-up, if there's an action plan, it will assist in terms of improving the soundness of financial management. The second area is financial and performance management. Here we are saying the financial statements that are compiled by the departments and entities, they should be supported by audit evidence at all times. There should be a reconciliation process on a monthly basis so that the financial discipline improves. Same applies to performance information that they report. It should be supported by adequate audit evidence. Wherein if a department reports that they've met 80% of a certain target that they've set themselves, that objective should be adequately supported by evidence. So if that happens and the leadership is looking at that, that is a positive driver for positive outcomes. And lastly, we are saying the governance structures should be strong as well. Governance structures is internal audit that should support the leadership, which is management, in terms of appraising the internal controls in the entity and report accordingly. And similarly, the audit committee should be basically in a position to use all the reports coming from internal audit as well as the external audit and make sure that management is held accountable in those areas. So we are saying if all these three drivers are in place, there's no way that you can have a negative financial system in any entity or department. So once again, we are using the same colors, green, yellow, red means intervention is required in any of, for example, if leadership was red, would be basically saying the tone at the top is not correct. Leadership is not aware what is happening within the environment. But as indicated earlier, we are saying leadership is quite robust in terms of responding to these issues. Thank you.
Okay, last week we heard that the department has taken action, as you have said, in terms of the irregularities under the extended public works program. And secondly, they have reported a matter to the SAPS, and there is a criminal investigation that is going on over and above the forensic audit that is taking place in the department. And there were issues also under SA Tourism, which were around the issue of leadership and governance. And I do not know whether perhaps you can express a view in as far as South African Tourism internal audit and audit committee to functioning are concerned, because those also are internal controls. Given the fine findings, at the hearing last week, we found that there had been an issue that had been ongoing for about a year without any intervention from the department under SA Tourism. How did you find the internal control mechanisms or systems in SA Tourism?
Sorry, Chairman, with regards to how the internal audit is functioning and the audit committee?
Yes, in fact, we found that they held all the meetings, but despite that, I'm just forgetting the issue now. There was an issue they could not detect for about a year.
Thank you, Chair. Just in terms of the internal audit component, it's very small. I've just taken over the audit of it, so I'm currently actually doing the planning for the audit, which I'm currently doing. And what I have noticed is that the internal audit is a very small component. I think it's made up of about two or three individuals. And I think that the size of it does make it a little bit difficult to be able to address the functions that may be required to. In terms of the audit committee, I know that there were concerns raised by the new DG of the department, and he indicated that he wanted an individual from the department side to actually sit on the audit committee. So he has currently put on the CIO of the department is now a member of the audit committee. And I think that should actually then be able to elevate any concerns that the department has can immediately be taken to the Tourism and Tourism and vice versa. Should there be anything that can actually now be communicated from the Tourism and Tourism side back to the department. So I think that they're trying to establish a channel, you know, of communication better. I don't know whether that would assist, because I don't know what the item is that they didn't pick up.
Well, it does not really matter. I will just follow that one up and then raise it with you if there's need to do so. But another issue that was of concern to the committee was that despite the directive from the cabinet that government departments, all government departments, should use graded establishments in order to promote the use of graded establishments, and in turn to protect the integrity and the image of SA Tourism. We found that quite a number of departments are not using graded establishments, and it was a proposal which we found useful, which we thought we could perhaps raise with you, that wouldn't it be useful from your side to then have have a transversal audit of the use of graded establishments by government, particularly for the small SMEs, and then in fact for all in business, because remember that the president in his State of the Nation address expressed that the tourism sector was one of the government's primary drivers for job creation, and job creation was the primary objective of the government given the climate in South Africa and globally. So it should then be a national effort to drive job creation, and then we wanted them to raise it and then find out with you whether perhaps it could be asking too much of you to ask questions around the use of graded establishments for the promotion of the tourism industry and the protection of that industry, given the tendencies in the world economy and given the need for job creation in South Africa. That was our humble view in support of the department as well. I do not know whether the Auditor General's office would have the necessary resources and capacities to humbly assist. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. It's something we can look at. I
I'll have to speak to my colleagues who are doing this specialist audit. I think as soon as I get the clear terms of how the transversal audit should be executed, you know, it will be easier for me to convey the message to my colleagues so that they can establish whether they can have resources to actually do that.
Okay, no, we are not talking in terms of should or whatever, but it's just a suggestion. Okay, and are you going by the questions?
Jefferson, it becomes red. Maybe I've got the handicap of having missed last week's presentation.
Definitely.
Just you know, just to cap on my previous questions, I just want to say, you know, our concern emanates from the fact that we are talking about a department that is already presented, and now we are seeing the audit view, and we cannot really collaborate. And maybe that is why we are having reservations. But the presentation on its own is very good. It's a clean, it's a very good presentation. But it leaves us with some things we want to scratch at. But we cannot scratch at them, you know, from them. We cannot scratch at those things from them, because you feel as a member that there is something you want to ask, like the questions you've already addressed so modestly, like it is just a suggestion. Those are the things we should be bombarding the department with, but it becomes difficult with us because they are number counters mostly, and we want to scratch at the real thing. And we can't scratch it from them. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you. No. It was quite a heated meeting on SA Tourism last week. Around the financial issues as well. Around the issue of leadership, around the issue of governance, and given that they have a board, and then the chairperson of the board was not present, and they were represented by Mr. Mutambo, who is a member of the board.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lot of problems because the financial officer was not there. But at the end, we understood that it was perhaps mainly because of the recognition or the radio recognition of some of the members, the CEO and some in the leadership. But what we were contended with was that the board didn't say we are not responsible, it is the previous, this thing has been normally held. They took the responsibility, and then from that we read that they were going to act, because if people say, no, it is the former CEO, it's the former this thing, then you've got to know that they are not going to address the problem. So we're quite optimistic and positive that these ones were going to be in a position to address the problem. And having said that, let us then thank you very much, Mr. Msiri.
Before you turn around, may I ask a pertinent question from the presenter? When one looks at the first slide and the second slide and comparing the nationalized, can you say it in words? I see the graph and the, you know, the figures here, but can you say it in words what your opinion of the Department of Tourism, the NDT, compared generally with the rest of the department? How is it doing?
Thanks, Chairman. To begin with, I think we paid special focus on the office in the supply chain management issues, contract management. We did a number of areas that we didn't look at previously. You find that there might be a contract in a department that is running for years. You might not have a sense whether they've exceeded the contract amount or not. So, and they know for the fact that when we do the audit, we focus on the expenditure for that period. So those are the things we looked at. We even looked at contracts that are running for years to see if they're managed well. So there's been a number of findings across the board, Mishnah, where departments were reported, ended up with reported findings on those issues because we paid more special focus on the supply chain management drivers. Maybe to explain the areas, there's a slide where we indicated the national picture. We even did the horizontal audits where we looked at the contracts that were awarded to close family members, uncompetitive or rather unfair procurement process. It's one area that we looked at. And even one, if one looks at the big bar, which is 62%, it's where most of the departments had issues in that area. But the department doesn't have any findings. So I would say that is encouraging because in terms of the national picture, 62% of the departments had findings in that specific area. So we also looked at inadequate contract management that I've mentioned, even inadequate controls. So overall, most of the departments which had clean opinions moved to a second line where they had unqualified with reported findings because of the specific areas that we had. That should also cover IT general control, HR matters, as well as predetermined objectives. So I would say the department is doing fairly okay compared to the national picture. But the second area, which was quite prevalent, the country, it's material misstatements that were effected in the financial statements, where we say we get financials as that are submitted for audit, but when we analyze those financials in terms of the accounting framework, you find that it doesn't meet to the full extent the accounting requirements. That's why we kept issues like capital assets, current assets, disclosure items is a big issue, where even if some of the transactions the financing is aware of, they don't know how to disclose those transactions in the financials appropriately. So this was the big area, and most of the public entities and departments have findings in this area. I think tourism is one where they've effected adjustment in their financial. So it was a common area, which we're not reporting on in the previous year. Thank you.
Thank you. There was just one omission that has been brought by the secretary. Last week under SA Tourism, and on page 137 of this report, Section 10, 137 of SA Tourism, of the SA Tourism report, is under compliance with laws and regulations. When we raised that matter to SA Tourism, that the accounting authority submitted financial statements for auditing that were not prepared in all material respects in accordance with generally recognized accounting practice as required by Section 55, Section 1B of the PFMA, then material misstatements identified during the audit were subsequently corrected in the financial statement. They said that this statement should not have been here. It was corrected even before this report was prepared. And then we as a committee then said that we wanted a letter from the auditor, the general, indicating the correction of that misstatement. And we even told them about the processes of audit, that is a 6-month period, and the letter of management and so forth. And we wanted them to assess whether now that one in 10 was not a misstatement as well. The submission that it was not correct to have this one in the report.
Thanks, Chatterton. The report is correct. It was signed off, Chatterton. I must indicate that we had a lengthy discussion with management around the issue before we finalized the audit. Even the chairperson of the audit committee was involved. What has happened was that when we were discussing the draft, we made a mistake in terms of using the provision of the department instead of the provision for the entity, which we corrected in that meeting to say, in principle, we are reporting all material misstatements that were affected in the financials as a non-compliant. So the debate was around that mistake, but our report is correct. Because we are even indicating in one of the slides where we say they corrected issues. Let's go back to this one. We say there were issues on capital assets, on current assets, as well as other disclosure items for the public entity. So that's where we made a judgment to say, if these corrections were not made, the audit report would have been qualified. So we are saying, materially, the financials were not 100% complying to the framework. And we appreciate the fact that audit adjustments are a normal process in the audit. But the more the magnitude gets bigger and material, we have to report those material mistakes. So our report is accurate.
Yeah, well, thank you for remembering that point, you know, because, yeah, it was discussed and left. But am I now getting that what we have here in this document is correct? This is what the Audit General Office is saying. what is here is correct. I think there's something that we need to look into. You see, because the impression we were given was that
you withdrew the seat.
I just want to know, will there be a day whereby the whole department will sit here? Yes. Yes. Because it works that way. Because when there are such stories, and then when the issue comes up, the DG just directs it to the one that is concerned. You know, it's a piano and organ, and this is just Buya Masini. But it's an expression of one by two. I don't think it is. Because if those who were here last week were here, we shall be talking. Honestly, I'm just, you know, saying, there be a day when we shall see the whole department and we learn to know them, not the one by one. I say, yes, Mr.
It's the
gloomy
street. thank you for the contribution, Mamuziana. But in concluding, let us say that we thank you very much. And I'm saying that this on behalf of the committee. And then secondly, this parliament, the committee, and everyone admires what you do very much. You may be encountering angry people sometimes, dissatisfied people sometimes, but I think the whole country admires your job at the end of the day.
Okay.
There could be those problems here and there, but don't be discouraged. For the country depends on you as part of Team South Africa. You are one of the major players in our democracy, and we appreciate that one very much. Your contribution to our democracy and therefore to our country is highly regarded by us on one hand, and then by the whole government as a whole. There could be problems with self-interest of some individuals, but as a whole, our parliament values your service very much, and you are held in very high regard as an office, and for your supporting the committees as well. Although we are not too happy that we could not meet you before we had this annual report, but at the end of the day, I think it is important to say that we appreciate your work. We do realize that you are doing your work with selflessness, commitment, and love. Please keep it up. Thank you. Tea is ready. Please join us for tea.
I'm going to go to the hospital. Wow. How are you doing, ma'am? Thank you.
Okay, let us prepare to start 2 minutes. Let us then continue with item C on the agenda. Item B and C have been part of this reporting from the Auditor General, so we automatically have been accommodated, especially because we discussed the financial statements for the last 6 months from the 1st of April 2011. To the 30th of September 2011, last week, which then should be part of the PRRR, which is Budget Review and Recommendation Report for the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. So now we have our draft report, and I repeat, it is draft report subject to adoption by this committee and we are working on very, very, very tight deadlines. So what we need to do would be firstly to familiarize ourselves with the processes of the budget review, of the budget review and recommendation reporting. I do not know whether we all received these documents from the office of the chairperson guiding us as to how the budget review reporting should work. This is the guideline. And then last week, myself, the secretary and the researcher said, and we drafted this report. So after drafting this report, we are presenting it to you, not as something perfect, but as something useful as a first step. But given the deadlines, tight deadlines, we want to request from you that since we cannot meet this week and the medium-term budget will be next week on the 25th. Is it the 25th?
Mm.
Yeah, that is next week. We look at this, briefly just look at this report as we present it to you, and then if perhaps you feel that there are things that should be included in this report that are missing, then contact the secretary, the office of the secretary, for it to add that to the report, and then we then together consider the report and give us the mandate then to sign the report as the report of this committee this week. The elements of the report, it's in line with the money bills. The guide, I think we are grateful of the office of the chairperson. It did well by giving this us quite a presentable distinct framework for the report. So the first page, which is the table of contents. Second page is as number four. That should have been number two. It is the purpose of the guide, just indicating that it emanates from the Constitution, the Money Bills Act, Amendment Procedure, Inflation Matters Act, the PFMA, the Public Service Act, and Rules of National Assembly. And then at the back there is a template. A template is a document that states the headings following each other, which guides you as to how to write that report, which is on page 17 of this report. It is the budgetary review and recommendations report of the Provincial Committee on Tourism. Then we shall append a date. The template. So now, our report should be in line with that template. So now, if you look at this report, this report should be in line with the template in page 17 that you have. And these were distributed to all of us, right? Are we still together?
Mm-hmm.
So the headings then go, it's the role of the committee, then we put that role of the committee after the introduction. Then number two will be the National Department of Tourism, its mandate and its core business. So it's under 1.2, the department. If you look at this template, it's 1.2, the department. So we say, for instance, our 1.2 says National Department of Tourism. The mandate and core business of the department is underpinned by the Constitution and all other relevant legislation and policies applicable to the government, including Bantu, Pili, and the white people. The vision and mission of the department embodies the mandate of the department as follows. The department supports tourism sector's contribution to economic growth. Two, its mandate is to create conditions for sustainable tourism growth and development through government's new growth path, which focuses on job creation and economic growth. The department supports both the public and private sectors in the tourism industry. And that is the mandate of the department. Then the department's strategic priorities and measurable objectives. We received this document, and if perhaps you do not have that document by now and you wanted to contribute, then you can contact the secretariat. Those documents will be available if they are not available in your file. Then we get to the next area, that is plans, measurable objectives, analysis of the department's prevailing strategy and operational plan. So now, as we have been having hearings, you will find that you make some notes here and there, and then if you feel that we should add something from your notes, please discuss that with us or with the secretariat, so that we can make sure that we have a fuller report. If for the lack of the correct expression. Then we then go to number three, which is analysis of the department's prevailing strategic and operational plan, where we look at administration and we comment. We look at tourism development and we comment. Page four, right? Then we look at the tourism group and we comment. Then we look at policy research, which is problem four. Policy research, monitoring, and evaluation, then we comment. So, it is our analysis, and then if you think that our analysis still needs to be picked up, please do comment in that direction. Then we have section four, which is analysis of section 32 expenditure reports. The section 32 expenditure reports, it's the document we circulated last week, which says first quarter, fourth, second quarter, third quarter, and so first, second, third, and fourth quarter. So last week we looked at third and fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. And then we asked questions, we commented, and then our responses to that should be under the analysis of Section 32 expenditure report. Right? Mm-hmm. Then we have broken it down according to programs, different programs. For instance, under administration, spending in this program amounts to 170,000 million rands, which is 90% of the total allocation. This low spending was due to unspent funds committed to the department's new head office building and 90 million rands for the use in 2011-2012 financial year. This was requested as a rollover. Approved by National Treasury. So this is going to be in the MTEF that we are going to approve next week, right? So look for that amount, and then in the MTEF you'll find it. If you do not find it, you've got to ask why. Then program two, tourism development, the 307 million rand or 94% of the allocated 328 million grants were spent by the end of the fourth quarter. This low spending was due to funds relating to extended public works program incentives, which was 24 million rands, which was not authorized for withdrawal by Department of Public Works due to poor performance. You heard us talking about that last week and this week as well. Then tourism group, 653 million rands, 100% of the appropriated budget for this program was spent. A large portion of these funds, 97%, went to South African tourism, SA tourism. Then we have the policy, research, monitoring, and evaluation, which budgeted for 13 million rands, and 100% was spent by the end of the financial year. So all the money that they received, they spent. Then, analysis of the Department of Department's annual report and financial statements. Here, the overall achievements of the tourism program includes, then we go to the dots then, the NTSS, the training of 14,000 youth as tourism ambassadors prior to the 2010 World Cup, 6.6% positive tourism growth, experience with tourism growing by 15.1% as a result of the 2010 FIFA World Cup during the 2010-2011 financial year. Positive media coverage of the ministry and the department as a whole, the creation of 8,090 full-time equivalent jobs, the creation of 25,000 accredited training present days through MTEF baseline budget. Then to the next point, the growing popularity of domestic tourism among South Africans, and 79% of South African tourist volumes was derived from domestic tourism, an increase in the frequency, length of stay and overall spending. Was experienced. Then the next point was the successful hosting of the New Value Awards and Hospitality Investment Conference for Africa, which was achieved in partnership with FEDASA and the TBSA, TBCSA, Tourism and Business Council of South Africa. The department surpassed all targets with respect to human capital management. If something is untrue, say so. Then the successful hosting of the 2010 Indaba, which was the biggest event in the African tourism calendar, with a turnout of 1813 exhibitors, the vision of the grading criteria, which will greatly assist in curbing corrupt practices in the hospitality sector and assist industries to be a global player in terms of service standards. I think on our oversight visits, we had been shown the different types of stars and how the new grading system should be displayed and how the stars are arranged and how to identify fake gradings. Then training of enterprises received a lot of attention as enterprises were more upfront and interested in tourism opportunities and competitiveness training. In addition, more enterprises were supported to the startup project stage. Skills availability in the sector has been a challenge, but the department managed to meet about 50% of their targets with respect to skills development. The department also successfully ensured that a substantial increase was recorded with regards to the rand value of annual transactional linkages between SMMEs and established tourism enterprises that were created. Efficient utilization of the new tourist guide registration system was achieved with 25% of tourist guides effectively transferred to the new system. The last point is the achievement acquired with regard to product development in the sector and the support of the SMEs through programs such as Emerging Tourism Enterprise of the Year Award that is a clear affair. If you remember, in one of the towns when we did this thing, our oversight, the town I think was Pochestro, where we met that young entrepreneur who presented himself. He had just won the entire award. And identity development funding and business workshops are impressive and a step towards the expansion of the tourism sector. Whereas the department has managed to register a number of victories, they still have some challenges that must be addressed for the industry to realize its potential. And these challenges include the department failed to meet their target in relation to the percentage of negotiated international agreements on tourism growth, development, and knowledge services signed. The department also failed to meet their target with regard to the percentage of participation and representation in the international forums. This alluded to the postponement of the ATRA. I think we should not use an abbreviation without explaining what it means. But that stands for tourism. One of the A's should stand for association. But the rest, my grandmother can get for me. getting establishments to adopt and implement universal accessibility minimum requirements. That means that the disabled should have a minimum standards to access this thing, buildings or facilities for tourism. Getting targets with regard.
What establishments are we referring to?
Getting establishment to adopt and implement universal accessibility minimum requirements.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, our buildings, our offices, and where government participates, we've got to have universal access.
We are referring to government here.
I think no. We are referring to government and the private sector, but we are saying that we failed to do that. You see, we have the asterisks above are for successes. Then there is this whereas. Under this whereas are our failures. It's getting establishments to adopt and implement universal accessibility. Minimum requirements. So we are not having hotels, for instance, adopting that one. It's a failure. Most of the hotels, and then even in government, that's why. But we need to, that needs to be corrected. What we are saying is that despite the number of victories, we still have some challenges, and this is one of the challenges. Then the target with regards to the percentage of new partnership for Africa's development, NEPAD, tourism action plan initiatives implemented were not met, and this was due to reliance on other role players for core funding. The next point, the failure to meet the set target with regard to the number of full-time equivalent jobs created. The department failed to attract enough projects in order for the set target to be realized. The inexcusable failure of the department with regard to the implementation and monitoring of the extended public works program. Then, although a number of SMEs have been created with the assistance of TEP, the standards are not truly reflective of what the grading process should reflect. This then raises questions about the quality of the grading process. The delayed progress made by the department with respect to the quality of tourism products and services is quite worrisome, as the department has also decided to declare other responsibilities to the 2010-2011 financial year. It's not declare, it's defend. I'm sorry for that. Then, oh, in 2012, yeah, defer to 2011-2012. Let us correct that one. So, then the consideration of the report, SCOPA report. For the year under review, the department did not receive any invitation to appear before the Standing Committee on Public Accounts. The SCOPA prioritized the departments who qualified. I think here we need to fix our English a bit. I don't know what we should to prioritize the department who have qualified for the report. Who had called, and those who had disclaimers or received an adverse opinion from the Auditor General. Departments who are not qualified, let us correct that one as well. With not significant emphasis of matters are not usually summoned. I think here we've got to construct the language people. I think they'll assist. Then,
what are we correcting there?
The language.
Oh.
So, for instance, the department who are not qualified with not significant emphasis of matters are not usually summoned.
Because then we also correct the. I just forget what they confused with. Instead of who, it should be which department, which.
Oh, yeah, because it's people who is people. You see, this language is very, very, very tricky. That's why we have got a department that, what is it called? Is answered. They correct our English. It's not everybody's. This thing, English, correct English grammar is not everybody's thing. The game, sometimes it just gets very, very tricky. Then, committee's observation. Now, whilst we are under this warrant, we have not talked about transformation. We have not talked about geographic spread. We've got to say something about it. If it is there, we've got to find. If it is there, let us find it where it is in the report. Do you realize that? This is a lengthy report. It's not easy to include everything when you write it. But I think there are areas, geographic spread, the issue of from. This thing and transformation. There could be also effective coordination or working together of the three spheres of government. How would you put that in English? Effective intergovernmental relation or something like that. Right? I think those. So, it's things like that we've got to write now and correct the secretary, but the secretary has to transformation, geographic spread in the three spheres of government interaction. And there could be others, because like the infrastructure around the tourism sites, but some of those things are not in our distinct mandate, because we can't fix a road in Mapungu. It is the duty of a district or the province to build that road. I don't know how you then express those things. Then, the committee's observations under the year for the year under review. It has interacted with a number of government departments, public entities, and tourism industry stakeholders in all these engagements throughout the committee. Throughout the committee, then spell check one of the committees was made the following observations. The issue of institutional arrangements, and then I think there should be a capital letter after this. What is this? It's hyphen. Same. It's hyphen after the hyphen. The implementation of the tourism growth strategy requires substantial institutional support. Then it goes, and then the issue of tourism and local government. Local government does not have legislature and or regulatory powers pertaining to tourism, but local tourism is a local authority function. So here, if you feel that we can improve on that, let us improve on that. Provincial and local tourism authorities, like in most other countries, South Africa needs to create a culture of more domestic travel, as that is the biggest contributor to sustainable business and jobs in the tourism industry. But also, it is less vulnerable to global fluctuations in the tourism industry. I don't know whether we can debate whether it's sustainable. Caters for that, but there is this issue of when there is a problem. For instance, today, if you listen to your radio, there was this new Delhi flu, which says that if you are infected with it, you get pneumonia, which is incurable, which is resistant to drugs. Did you hear that this morning? There were South Africans that come from outside, from New Delhi, they came here, and they had that virus. It's a new strain, of shower pneumonia, and which is resistant to drugs. You can kill it. So if you are weak, you go.
What causes that somebody next to me?
Well, it will happen. I mean, if you sit next to somebody that is having that thing, they sneeze, you catch it.
Yeah.
And then if you are weak, you'll go to the world, to the world above.
No, I accept that excuse, and I want to say, I've been having this flu for 2 weeks now. Mm. So, got the Indian flu.
No, take one weekend and sleep, it will go away. If you don't rest, you continue with meetings,
yes.
It will just be with you forever.
Like last week, on Tuesday, when I attended the tourism committee meeting, that's fine because the business unit is fine. The following day, a human settlement from 9 o'clock to 8:20 in the evening.
But you've got to see, otherwise it gets on and gets worse and it becomes pneumonia. And pneumonia is nobody's friend.
It's not a matter of sleeping. She must go and see the doctor first. I have. And if it doesn't stop, you go back and then you go and see. I have. Yes. I told you, Master.
And I think also this climate change, it just becomes very cold in summer when you go without a vest, and then all of a sudden you find that it is very, very cold outside. Then the issue of sustainable, you said the provincial and local tourism authorities, the culture of domestic tourism. I think the culture of domestic tourism has got to go with the expenses as well. It's very expensive to go for a week on for tourism. So I think we've got to also to have things like Aventura, as the previous apartheid government had for the working people. Yeah. They have these, they had these Aventuras and so forth for people who are poor. And they had facilities that were not that much up to scratch, mm-hmm. but they were quite good. Then tourism budgets. The successful implementation of the tourism growth strategy requires substantial financial resources. The current national and provincial tourism budgets are extremely limited and do not allow for the successful implementation of the tourism strategy. It also does not compare favorably with the budgets of other countries such as Spain, Australia, etc. Innovative models will have to be found to supplement the current budget. No. The secretariat has to come up. What does this mean? Innovative models will have to be found to supplement the current budget.
You can't hear.
I'm saying that if the National Treasury refuses to increase the budget of tourism, then what else could be done?
That is the point.
Because the issue here is, as we were told by, I think was it in the district municipalities in Northwest, or where they were saying, you've got people who want water, then you have to balance that housing versus tourism, which one comes first. So those are some of the challenges. Which in those instances, then tourism doesn't become a priority. Then a priority is to provide a house, is to provide running water, clean water, and so on. Then tourism will be the last thing in the municipalities thinking.
Okay, no, I take the point. Then, if there's a better way of stating that, I think we've got to find it.
On that point, when you mentioned the Northwest, you remind me of one of the things that we raised there. You see, the question of some of these industries and their responsibility towards what do you call this thing? When an industry supports the community because it has a responsibility towards that
social responsibility.
We discussed that. If you remember, for instance, the Northwest were telling us that the Northwest is the gold of platinum. That's right. They're boasting about the platinum. But at the same time, their budget for tourism was only about $5 million because they did not have the money. So we're then asking as to what is the responsibility of the mining industry towards assisting, you know, in areas like that. I don't know how we can put it here, but I think there is also a lot of that.
Partnerships.
That's
partnerships that promote tourism.
The CPP.
There could be a number of ways to be, because
remember, if you are in business, let us say in a platinum business, and then so you are in the social, one of your tasks is corporate governance, which then has social responsibility. The question is the other managers ask is what do we get as a company? What is in it for us? Why do you help these people? That is what, because in business, that is the question. We are here for profit. What is in it for us? You just ask it like that. So your social responsibility, you've got to couch, you've got to promote it in such a way that they see, they realize that thing, that, you know, the crime situation, less unemployment, those types of things, and come back then to the welfare of the working people and the welfare of the company contributing has got to, you've got to motivate that one. And I think it can be motivated and be a success. But also, the people in tourism should not attack, throw stones at mines as well. Because what happens is that you start throwing stones at mines and in a newspaper without actually having a meeting with them and then discussing your concerns, and then you just publish in a newspaper this problem, that problem, mine, that one. Then you have a problem with getting funds. But then I think it depends also on the local leadership as well. Then domestic tourism growth strategy, that focus that was agreed. Then the issue of marketing, existing limited marketing budget allocated for tourism, that one was agreed. Safety and security of tourism, strengthen partnerships, land reform, restitution processes that prolonged. That took a long time, and then you find that there is uncertainty, and then this hampers investments. Lack of adequate integrated land use planning, signage, poor signage, skills development, small SMMEs, all spheres of government should work towards strengthening competitiveness and promotion of SMMEs and cooperatives as they remain the cornerstone for growth of the economy and the creation of decent work opportunity. Then the government should facilitate market access and so forth. Provincial and local government capacity, there's a need for improvement of provincial and local government capacity to plan for and maintain infrastructure to ensure continued efficient delivery of economic and social services, which means that your party should deploy you with that. Don't refuse and say, I want to be in parliament. When the Kukuza municipality wants you, you should go there. All right, let us go to the next part, that is conclusion. The conclusions, the committee has expressed pride and satisfaction across the board that the department and SA Tourism received unqualified audit reports. This is the first ever presentation of the annual report, the newly formed department following the announcement by the president in 2009 that the Department of Tourism should be a standalone department. The mandate of the National Department of Tourism broadened as the tourism sector has been identified as a job driver in certain in South Africa's new growth path. The concerns that we had in the committee about the financial matters, I think, need to be couched in, I think, as a phrase or whatever. I don't know how we can get to that one. The committee has expressed pride and satisfaction across the board, despite the concerns that we, or whatever, but I think we've got to find a way of expressing that, you should get what I mean. Or despite the limited whatever, but we've got to express the concerns that we need. presentation the committee was taking through, that is the annual report. And then under the recommendations, based on the stakeholder engagement submission, that is page 10 under number 9. Based on the stakeholder engagement submissions and presentations and oversight work, the committee recommends as follows. I think there's a follows. Yes, 9.1, leadership, the monitoring controls to ensure adherence to contractual requirements and internal controls over expanded public works program were not sufficient to detect and prevent control deviations and non-compliance with laws. I think when we made this thing, we still have to make a recommendation under this. We noted, it's noted, and then because it is under recommendation, there has to be a recommendation under leadership. Governance. Concerns exist about the nature, extent, and frequency of management assessment of controls in place relating to the expanded public works programs to prevent and detect fraudulent activities. So we've got to find a way of recommending, because it is under recommendation, and if we just could flag those. It's page 10, number 9, that is recommendations. Under recommendations. If you have recommendations, you've got to have recommendations. There's a revised one.
Criminal matter last week. You remember when we had a hearing last week?
Yes.
A criminal case has been opened. I think that that one as well has to come here, because people keep on saying that there is corruption. You say there is corruption in government, you are not doing anything. Nobody is arrested, nobody is demoted, nobody is dismissed. I mean, we also do not want to hear that, because we are also taxpayers. We pay tax. We don't pay tax for you to steal money or for someone to steal money from the budget. We want money to go according to the preferred budget that we made, and then in the budget we do not have funds for Kumede or someone. Then we have the committees in support of the forensic investigation. That one we dealt with. Tourism budget. The committee recommends that the Department of Tourism and SAT should receive a higher budgetary allocation given the legacy of the 2010 FIFA World Cup, the need to develop domestic tourism growth, which is less prone to international fluctuations. Yeah, here you have this point. As recent experiences like H1N1 flu epidemic in Iceland volcano ash have shown, the emergence of new markets like Brazil, India, and China, which would need more resources to promote, and the higher focus on tourism that has been indicated by government promoting tourism into a fully fledged department. Just please assist the wanted. Then these increases in the expenditure will be offset by revenue that will be generated by the increase in tourism. The point is that increasing the budget on tourism is an investment. We expect returns, and it is quite that is quite realistic. Then extended works program, the committee recommends that progress on cooperative work between the Department of Tourism and the Department of Public Works should work towards identifying projects that would have maximum benefit to poor communities. Then 9.6, use of graded establishments by government departments. The committee recommends that in order to encourage SMMEs and other tourism enterprises to register, we will just have to fix that sentence. In terms of the new grading system, the cabinet directive of 2006 needs to be enforced. I do not know whether we've got to put it as a recommendation that we prefer it to be an audit requirement of the government of the Auditor General, or this thing should be an audit requirement or not. But again, you put your input there. Then 9.7, intergovernmental relations. Tourism is a concurrent competence and requires good coordination and mutual support between the three spheres of government, particularly in view of the diverse nature of tourism. The committee recommends that 1, the national, provincial, and local governments should place more emphasis on the important role of municipalities in developing tourism and the extraordinary contribution this sector would make to socio-economic development, and 2, an integrated approach should be established by the three spheres of government to enhance their relationship and coordination. And then there are issues that on our oversight we have noted that some heritage attractions like like museums are not well maintained, and then municipalities say that they do not have funds to maintain them. But they are attractions to those to those places, towns and so forth. You go to that town in the Northern Cape, Upington. That was the concern about their museums and other listings, like how we in KwaZulu Natal, the upkeep of that place, it's filthy, there is growth around the places. There are places in the Eastern Cape that are of value, like the places of frontier wars, they are just left like that. You go to KwaZulu Natal, the site of Isandlwana, well, is well kept because of the province. Mm-hmm. But there are other. Emakhosini is not well kept. The roads are very poor. Mm-hmm. You come to the Western Cape, there are areas around Hermanus that are heritage sites that are not well kept. Around the spa there in the what's the town in the spa and casino? What's the name of the town?
Caledon.
Yeah. And then around Caledon as well, you find that there is heritage around those springs. But that heritage does not exist because either the municipality is not aware and then it is not developing anything in terms of tourism and heritage. Then,
just directing from the point where you are raising that, on that bullet one, under 9.7, bullet one, we add the sector would make the socio-economic development and heritage tourism, something like that. We put it straight away. We include it there.
Yeah, because museums are heritage tourism.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is going to give you a clue. If it's not perfect, know that the thing is not perfect, can always be on the way. But as long as it gets to see well, so that when we read and we want improvement, then we can improve. But we accept that wedding and then.
Then, job creation at local level. The committee notes. Tourism is a demand-driven sector, therefore the volume and value of demand inform investment in supply and job creation. Then the committee recommends that the maintenance and development of public tourist attractions should be prioritized. Okay, we discussed about it. This recommendation addressed that concern, Montrope, right? Then provision of public infrastructure supporting local economic development and tourism is improved. Provision of public amenities such as parking, ablution facilities, public transportation, etc. be made when necessary. The last asterisk is local and district municipalities maintain the general safety, cleanliness, and beautification of the local area. And it could also be roads or infrastructure like sanitation and water. But if you think that the last bullet should be improved, please make proposals, right? Then, local government. For the municipalities to be able to deliver on tourism targets, the committee recommends the following. The intensification of effective tourism planning and capacity on tourism planning is critical and should be prioritized. Through the integration of local initiatives, that is IDPs, with provincial and national strategic frameworks. Three, the provision of tourism support services, such as human capital development for the sector at local level. And synergic linkages should be developed at all spheres of government so as to promote local tourism activities, organizations, and strategic partnerships. Then 9.10, signage and road infrastructure. The committee recommends that issues be addressed by the Department of Transport. I think that's these issues. The committee notes the poor road signage and proper infrastructure impact negatively on access to tourism products, especially in rural areas. The committee recommends cooperative work between the Department of Tourism and the Department of Transport to be reported on to the committee in 3 months and after the adoption of this report. I think we can improve on that by including COCTA as well, but let's review COCTA for the local government and then they can meet. But a report to be considered. Someone should volunteer a concluding remark here for this remote. We can't just leave it hanging like that. So let us then find this thing. Having done whatever, and then but we conclude. We give a conclusion. So I think let us, for purposes of now process, adopt this report, and then with the provision that. Subject to the final adoption by the chairperson with the secretary of whatever amendment that you put in. Because as you read this report, other things will come up. And then you'll feel that you were supposed to add it up. So, for instance, there are issues like Polokwane. Airport, Mutata Airport, the lack of these guiding beacons or whatever, what is it called? Navigation instruments. There should be an improvement in navigation. I think that is something that we agreed on. The other thing that we agreed on was pilferage at the airport, stealing at the airport. Government should, I don't know whether the FATS should be involved as well, but I think it's by a point worth noting. But if you go through all the minutes of the committee, you may find that there are other things that we did not put in that we're supposed to. Kindly assist, but the deadline is Friday, it's Friday. If you remember next week, it's gone. Right? So, with that, let us get somebody proposing and then somebody seconding, and then I'll pay it. Makasi Njabe.
I do second this proposal, and I also want to congratulate the drafters of this, because I think even though we noticed that there's still some more information to be added, but I think on the whole, a lot of research has been done, and I think I also like the structure myself, and I think it's really quite reflective of the issue that we usually raise in our committee. So with that, I really do second the draft report. And hoping that the final words, that concluding remark, definitely I have confidence that the chairperson will do that.
So let us then we have to meet either tomorrow morning or somewhere, Pinky, Jerry, and take a thing further. But let me thank you as well. I mean, the time has been short. And we said last week, was it Wednesday or Thursday? It was a short time we discussed this PRR, right? I didn't expect it to be on the as far as this. I expected just a very, very rough draft, but it's very, very good. We discussed some of the things, but well done. Well done, Bogie.
I thought it was very general. You know, maybe I'm the only one who has this problem. I arrive on a Monday afternoon, and so I don't come to Parliament on Monday. I come on a Tuesday morning. And on a Tuesday morning, I find a nice envelope from Jerry, the secretary. But I just have only about an hour to look through the thick documentation sometimes that he has in that envelope within an hour. I don't know what you can do, Chairperson. You see, the parliamentary process is such that we are here for certain usually until Thursday evening. Some people leave by Thursday evening, but at least all of us are gone by Friday lunchtime. Most of us are gone by Friday lunchtime to our position. So if the documents are not in your pigeonhole by Friday morning, it means that you will only see them on a Tuesday morning. And therefore you can't do justice to them. I did manage, because I found this very interesting, to read this quickly, very, very quickly. But for instance, I didn't have time really to look at the actual item on the agenda for today, that is the Auditor General's document. And yet both of them were in the envelope, and both of them needed time. I don't know. It's really up to the secretary to work out his own program as to how he can ensure that those who are supposed to give us documents to prepare for the following week, we get them, would I say, latest Thursday evening. When I say Thursday evening, I mean then Thursday before we leave. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one who has that problem. I don't know about the other members.
No, we
also
let us try and have them on Thursday. But it's not always going to be possible. Let us have that understanding. And as much as we have the desire to have it, but it may not be as always possible. With the hard work that our team is capable of. I mean it's the team is good and hardworking. Mama,
I wanted to say that we have been trying that, but the talents that Uchiru has getting, the people, the presenters, and not them the documentation time. We have been saying that we need to get out the communication system, but then he is encountering problems with a presenter.
For us, thank you. This is one that the entry was. You know, for us, I've got it to the 10 past 60 effect. So I have to stay here until that day, friend, that was.
overall, I think we shall try and